Turn your Bibles, if you would, please, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we'll probably have a song at the end here. A couple, whatever the Lord leads there. That's fine. But Romans chapter 8. In verse number 37, I want to preach a message. A while back, I preached on a series on the Christian life, a Christian life series, and it was basically different aspects of the Christian life and different things that that would come up. We talked about the sanctified life, the separated life, the crucified life. Man, there were so many of them, right? Just probably, well, 11 different ones, I think, so far. Talked about the abundant life, talked about the sanctified life, the holy life, the life of holiness. I want to bring one to you here this morning that I believe the Lord gave me here the other day, and just dealing with different situations and seeing the countenance of some and really trying to be an encouragement to you as well. The Word of God is an encouragement to us if we will allow it to be, if we allow the Lord to deal with our lives and help us. He will encourage us with His Word. It's not always reprove and rebuke. There's some exhortation there as well, but it's all mixed in together to help us and for our admonition and to teach us. Now, let's pray first. Father, we need You. Holy Spirit of God, we need You more than we do anything here today. We don't need just a man to stand up and speak, but Lord, we need the Holy Spirit of God to anoint this and bless this and use this, Father. Speak to the hearts of Your children here. If there be one here that's not born again, dear God, may they fall under conviction and come to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Holy Ghost, please move in our midst, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're going to discuss here today, we're going to look at the discouraged or defeated Christian life. Many live a discouraged defeated Christian life, and they don't have to. They don't have to live that type of a life, but many do. And this is an exhortation not to.
In understanding this, we went over a lot of things in the Christian life. We've looked at many different aspects of it. One of these aspects that I think is very important to understand and to look at is the discouraged or the defeated Christian life, because many live a discouraged and defeated Christian life, and they don't have to. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 37, the Bible says, "Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." That's Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 12 there. And what that specifically states is that you and I were like that, but we are not like that now. We were like that. Understand that, but we are not supposed to live that life as saved children of God. God doesn't expect defeat from you. He expects victory. Amen. He grants victory. But one thing I see from God's people today is more of a fatalist attitude. An attitude of complete failure, a down-in-the-dumps, defeated attitude. That is not Christ-like. Amen? That does not come from God. I want to teach you some things about joy and happiness today that I think will help you and give you some understanding. It really, when I looked at it, it really helped me to understand a lot more of what God expects from us and what God gives us. It's important to understand these things. First of all, it is vitally important that you understand that it is not of your Father to be a fatalist or be a defeatist or be discouraged. That is not of your Father in heaven. Jesus did not live His life in discouragement when He was here. Amen. Come on. He did not live His life like that. Defeatism is not an attribute that we receive from our Father in heaven. Discouragement is not from our Father in heaven. We do not get that from God. That comes from the flesh. Turn your Bibles, if you would, please, to Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22. Because these are the things that we get from our Father. I hope you're listening to this. I hope you understand what's being taught to you here this morning. I pray God reveal this unto you, because I really believe that God's people should not walk around like a bunch of dead zombies. Amen? They should not walk around so discouraged and so defeated like the world. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's real Bible love there, by the way. That's not a fleshly, but a Bible love. A godly love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy. Uh-oh. What thing do you think lacks the most in people that live a defeated life or a life of discouragement? Seems to be these first three things. Love, joy, and peace. You show me somebody who lives in discouragement, I'll show you somebody that does not have joy and peace in the soul. They're not exercising that joy and peace in the soul. I'll show you a defeated, discouraged person. But it's proven that that's not of your Father. Yeah. That's defeated. Discouraged. It's not godly. It says here, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. You know, all of this is a fruit, by the way. It's not different fruits. You understand that? You get all of this when you get the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. All of it. You get all of the Holy Ghost you'll ever get when you get saved. The key is giving all of yourself to Him constantly. Amen. You see, these are the fruit of the Spirit. Nowhere in this list do you see defeat, sorrow, and despair. Then what are those things? Fleshly. Wow. Sometimes the Bible is so simple it hurts. Because this is the truth of Scripture right in front of us. You say, this is very easy to understand. I know. The problem is, why aren't we living it? God help us that you and I do not believe that your Father in heaven saved you to live a defeated life. Your Father intended you to live a victorious Christian life, one that brings honor and glory to Him. Not to walk around with a woe is me attitude that the world and God and everyone else owes you something. That's really how many defeated people walk around and discouraged people. Like you have not gotten something that you are owed. So you walk around defeated and discouraged. By the way, if you look at the fruit of the Spirit, which we will someday in depth, if you look at this, look at some of the things you'll understand here. It's amazing, isn't it? Long-suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. I believe those first three really deal with you a lot. The last three or four deal with how you treat others. Amen? Look at that. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. That's you. The last three or four or five or six are you, but what are they? They're how you treat others. They manifest how you treat others if you are living in this fruit of the Spirit, if you're walking in the Spirit. The defeated Christian will always look for what they need and not look on the needs of others. Or what they want and not on the needs of others, because they're defeated. They're discouraged. It's about me. It's about what I want. I don't like that. The struggles of the brethren will be of no importance to them because they're too busy licking their own wounds to help that of others. What is that? A discouraged, defeated, selfish person. Tell me something. If you are leading a down in the dumps and the depths of despair Christian life, who can you possibly help? When you're so busy feeling sorry for your own condition that you're in, who can you possibly help? Our lives are to please the Lord in all things. And if you and I are living a defeated life, then how can you ever be a blessing to others, which is the call of God on your life? To first please Him, and then good works to others. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. That these things are good and profitable unto all men, unto men. Your life is to maintain good works. You're to be careful to maintain good works. Is everybody around you always trying to please you and keep you happy? Are they trying to pacify you and please you and make you happy constantly? See, I want to exhort you. I want to be a blessing to you, but I'm not here to pacify you. I'm not really here to make you happy. We're going to talk about being happy. It's very overrated, by the way. I'm going to prove to you that much of your attitude and much of my attitude are that of, we want happiness. We want happiness. I want it to be sunshine and flowers every day. I want happiness. What if I told you that happiness is rather a sinful attitude to try to accommodate? More importantly, what if I told you the Word of God, show you in the Word of God that your happiness is more of a fleeting feeling? And my goodness, if we are so pathetic that we live our lives for happiness, then you and I will never be fulfilled. Because we'll never be happy all the time. Are you aware that on earth, if you showed yourself in despair around a king, back in the days of the Bible and back still in some courts probably, that if you were around a king and you were showed yourself in despair and you showed a sorrowful spirit, that the king might take your head for it? Do you know that? All over the Bible you can see it illustrated. The cupbearer was scared to come before the king with a sad countenance as he prayed. The queen prayed before she went to see the king. Oh man, he might kill me if he sees me sad. Why? You weren't supposed to be sad around the king. Why? Because you're around the king. Amen? Let me ask you. You think God enjoys the fact that you walk around all day long in a mopey, woe is me, discouraged, defeated life? Do you think that's pleasing to God? Oh, what a way to manifest God's glory. Amen? Come on. You know what you're telling people around you when you live a defeated, discouraged life like that? You know what you're telling people around you? I don't have a very good father in heaven. He's not really a very good father. Never thought about that way, did you? But that's what you're telling people. That's what you're telling a lost and dying world that's looking for the truth, that needs the truth. What you're telling them is that, well, you're a Christian. Yeah, I know, but life just is so hard. I'm not a happy one. I didn't know you were supposed to be a happy one. By the way, did you see happiness as a fruit of the Spirit? Whoa. Not there, is it? Let's see why. Number two. So then where does the life of defeat and depression come from? Where does it come from? Only one answer. Sin. Living in the works of the flesh will cause us to lose all the joy that a Christian has. Oh, I use that word joy. Yeah, I didn't use happiness. Galatians 5:19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, And such like of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. When you and I live in the flesh and in an unrepentant sin, we will not be able to live the victorious life, but the defeated one. We will live a defeated, discouraged life when we are living in the flesh. You cannot expect that God will give you love, peace, joy when you're living in the flesh. That is promised for those that live in the Spirit, not the flesh. You can throw out all the depression pills and all the psychology and chalk it up to a sin-ridden, wounded conscience that is at the level of depression. Let me tell you what causes depression? Sin. Let me tell you what causes you not to be happy? Sin. Joyful? Sin. See, the selfish heart is looking for happiness. The joyful heart already understands that the joy of the Lord is your strength. We'll talk about that in a second. But you show me someone who is moping and crying and has no joy, I'll show you someone who's walking in the flesh. Their life is so consumed with the flesh that they cannot. Why would you rejoice in the Lord always? And again, I say rejoice when you're living in the flesh. When you're living to make the flesh happy, you won't. You won't have love, joy, peace. Why? You traded that in for happiness. Amen. You traded the fruit of the Spirit and exercising the fruit of the Spirit in for happiness. Isn't it amazing how you and I will never be happy on this earth? Why? Because happiness is fleshly. And those that live in the Spirit will never be happy with indulging in the flesh. I've heard some people say, well, I can't make you happy. Good, I'm not trying. I can never make so-and-so happy. Well, maybe that's the problem. They have a countenance problem. They have a joy problem. If you can't get along with people, you have the problem. Yeah, but my mom, my dad, my sister, my cousin, my dog. I know, I don't like mine either. But anyway, those are the reasons why. No, those are, well, we'll talk about that in a second. Those are happenings. You know, many of these people even receive great counseling and loving brethren to help them. But until the sin and the works of the flesh are done away with and you decide to receive the counseling, then the counselor is wasting their time. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. Sir, ma'am, no counselor is going to be able to make you happy. Only God can give you joy. I hope your family doesn't have to scramble around to make you happy. You're fleshly then. You're living very fleshly then. And guess what? When one partner or one person in the home is living spiritual and the other one is living fleshly, you have a big problem there. Amen. Why? Well, because one is living in the flesh and expects happiness, and the other one has joy from the Holy Ghost, so they don't understand why they're always complaining about everything. Think about that. Interesting, isn't it? Yeah, it's actually biblical. You will continue to live a defeated, discouraged life until you get right with God. Because sin brings sorrow. But godly sorrow worketh repentance, not to be repented of. The problem is that many have sorrow, but not godly sorrow. They walk around with sorrow all day. Well, I'm glad you're sorry, I guess. I mean, for a little bit, but that's still a human emotion pretty much. And that's what you're basing your existence on, is sorrow and weeping and crying and moping all the time. What's that? Fleshly fleshly, looking for happiness. Huh? Looking for happiness. Hey, they even understand that at McDonald's. They have a Happy Meal. See what? It just got a little urge there that makes you happy. It feeds your flesh. You see that? GMO that probably kills you, but hey, it gives feeding you something, right? Happy genetically altered food. Sorry. Had to add that in, Brother Andrew. But where is the sorrow that leads to God? Where is the sorrow that leads thee to repentance? Judas sorrowed unto himself and went to hell. He had sorrow. You know, your sorrow doesn't impress me. It's your godly sorrow that worketh repentance that impresses God. Amen? It's your godly sorrow. You can have sorrow and you can cry and you can whine and you can cry and you can whine and, oh, you can cry and whine. But I'll tell you something. At the end of the day, here's what it is. Is it godly sorrow that worketh repentance? If not, then go do it somewhere else so I don't have to see it, because it's fake. It's phony and it's not real. You say, are you not compassionate? No, I'm compassionate, but I don't need the waterwork fake stuff. Do you understand? I've seen that too much with people, and then they don't change what they're doing, and they continue in sin that grace may abound. And it's ridiculous. And all it is looking and searching for happiness. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 16, it says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. What was wrong with Esau? Well, Esau, he teared and he cried and for repentance unto himself. Oh, he repented to himself. Oh, my God. My life is just so bad, and everything's so bad, and not even my dog likes me. And you know, you can go on and on and on and on and on. And my wife burnt my pizza last night. I've cried over that a few times. I understand how that is. But you know, I mean, this happened and that, and you start crying and oh, be prepared. You know, when you get married, to have some burnt food. But anyway, there you go. See, I'm looking for happiness. But listen, he sought it. What? In the flesh. He sorrowed to his flesh. Quit wasting your time. Would you get over that? That is just emotional soap opera garbage. Would you get over that and quit your whining? And get up and be faithful to God. Quit whining. Quit living your life in the depths of despair and naming the name of Christ. You're giving a poor testimony to your Father in heaven, and you're living a defeated life for no reason. You don't have to live that defeated life. Amen? I know people that have went through so many horrible things, but they don't walk around looking like they hate everything, that life is over. Yeah, it's hard. I know it is. But believe me, there's people that can tell you stories that would make your ears hurt. Amen? People have been through some hard things. He never repented with godly sorrow. His tears, his sorrow was just a fleshly thing. Amen? If you watch somebody, they'll sit there and they'll sorrow. But what are your tears doing? What are they changing? Are they changing anything? Are they leading thee to repentance, to change? Or do you just receive counsel after counsel after counsel, instruction, love, kindness, and then you just continue on in your same old mold? Now that's really wanting to get attention is all that is. What for? Happiness. All it is. Happiness. One major sign. Understand this, though. Understand this. Many cry today. They don't cry tears of repentance to the Lord, though. They cry tears of sorrow themselves. And I believe it's fitting to say this. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity, saith the preacher. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. All about me, all about what makes me happy. What is that? Happiness, pleasing my flesh, making sure I'm happy, all selfishness, all vanity. You will live a defeated life until you come to the end of your own dead works. Number three, one major sign of someone living a defeated life is constant discouragement. Constant. Discouragement is a sure sign that you are living that defeated life. In Psalm 42, verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Why am I cast down? Constant discouragement is a work of the flesh. It is a concentration on myself and not on the goodness of God. If you are so contentious that people cannot get along with you and you cannot get along with others and you're always butting heads with people like that, fleshly. It's flesh. See, I don't like to hear that. I realize that. Not one person in this room likes to hear that right now. I don't either. But I'm not preaching it because I like it or you like it. Amen? Constant discouragement is that work of the flesh. If I am living a defeated life, it's because I am living for myself and not for Christ. If I am leading a discouraged life, it's because I'm living for myself. And if you're going to be the type of person to live for yourself, don't get married. Stay alone. Because you cannot live for yourself and be married. It messes everything up. Amen? I've seen that far too long. People selfish. Men wanting to act like boys. Wanting all their toys and to go out and have their fun and spend all their time with their friends all the time and leave their wife at home alone all the time with the kids and never spend any time with them, never raise their children, never do anything. Just to please themselves all the time. And a lady is home with the children trying to raise them without a father because the man is too selfish to stand up and be a man. He's a boy. Amen? Come on. It's true. It's all about what I want and not about what the Lord wants for me. Remember that fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Notice the fruit of the Spirit. Notice it. Understand it. Constant discouragement is a sign of fleshly living. It's a sign of just pure living in the flesh. Number four, joy comes from the Lord and it is constant. Happiness is fleeting. What is happiness? Look at the definition of it. The agreeable sensations which spring from the enjoyment of good, the state of a being in which his desires are gratified by the enjoyment of pleasures without pain, felicity, but happiness usually expresses less than felicity and felicity less than bliss. Happiness is comparative to a person distressed with pain. Relief from that pain affords happiness. In other cases, we give the name happiness to positive pleasure or an excitement of agreeable sensations. Happiness, therefore, admits of an indefinite degrees of increase in enjoyment or gratification of desires. Perfect happiness or pleasure with pain is not attainable in this life. Without pain is not attainable in this life. It also means good luck or good fortune. So what do I base it off of? We'll get to that in a second. But in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 10, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. What was he telling them? You messed everything up, and God knows it. And I know you're sorrowful about it, but forget about that. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. And have the joy because you are obeying God. And no matter what happens, you're still God's children. And you need to stand up and do what's right and love the Lord and not be sorrowful all the time. Yes, trouble comes. Yes, trials come. Yes, tribulations come. We understand that. That's part of life. But joy is eternal. Because the eternal one is the giver of it. That's how you know someone has received Christ as well. The joyful spirit that they have. The Listen to this quote here. Oh, rejoice as the Lord commanded them on such days as these was a means both of increasing their bodily strength and their inward strength and of fitting them the more to perform their duty to God and men with cheerfulness, which sorrow and heaviness made unfit for, and the joy which has the Lord for its object and comes from Him is the cause of a renewing spiritual strength so as to run and not be weary, walk and not faint in the ways of God. Do you understand that? That I'm not joyful because good things happen to me all the time. I'm joyful because Jesus Christ saved my never-dying soul. And He placed that joy inside of me. They were sorrowful, these were. They had just found the law and found out that they were wholly forsook the Lord their God. And they were sorrowful. They wanted to die. But you know what they were basing everything off of? Happenings. What does that mean? Well, whatever happens and comes my way, then I'm happy if it's good things. But if it's bad things, then I'm discouraged and distraught. So basically, you're living your life about the happenings that come your way. So circumstances that don't make you happy come your way, then you're sad all the time and you're discouraged all the time and you're mean and angry and nasty with people all the time. You sound like a very fleshly living person then. You sound like you're not walking in the Spirit then. You sound like you're living for the flesh, to please the flesh. What makes me happy? Because my happenings are good, so I'm happy. Well, folks, let me tell you something. You're not going to always have great happenings because things are going to happen to you. Amen? Things are going to happen to you that aren't good. And if you're basing your life on what comes your way to determine whether you're going to be happy or joyful, there's a difference, isn't there? Joy comes from the Lord and it springs eternal. Happiness is based on my circumstances. So when your circumstances are bad, you're going to act like the devil and be mean to everybody and hate everybody under the sun? What fleshly living that is. So if my wife doesn't do something that I'd like her to do, then I'm going to be mad and angry and mean at her all the time? Because, well, she didn't do it. I want, she didn't make me happy. What a jerk. Amen. You don't like somebody calling you that. Hey, I'm calling me that too. It's true. It's because your wife's not perfect. She does something wrong. She does something you don't like. Something happens and it robs you of your joy. Really? You're going to allow some happening to rob you of your joy? To change your countenance and make you act like the devil when you don't get something you want? It's very fleshly living. Very fleshly living. They were basing everything off of happenings for happiness. Are you starting to understand that happiness is not going to be maintained in this world? But I want to make me happy. No, I want to please the Lord. Remember, that's the chief end of man, to glorify God and to please the Father in heaven. That's why you were created. But see, you've forgotten about that. You forgot that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the joy comes from the Holy Ghost. And it's a fruit of the Spirit. That's why Job didn't curse God and die and hate his spiritual life and say God wasn't a good father in heaven. That's why Job didn't curse God. That's why you won't curse God. That's why people can go through cancer. They can lose children. They can lose limbs. They can lose anything. They can lose a loved one. Things can happen to them. They can get in accidents, get maimed. But the joy of the Lord is their strength. Why? Because they didn't base their existence on happiness. Shame on you for living your life for just whatever comes your way and basing your spiritual walk on that. How selfish is that? How selfish to your family, to your husband, to your wife, to your children that is. Shame on us for treating people that way. As the children of God, and whatever makes me happy. Those things change, folks. It's the God, the eternal God that's in your soul that doesn't change. That's what's supposed to make the difference in your life, not your happenings. People don't live for God because everything good happens. People don't get in the ministry and preach the Word of God because great things happen when you do. Or people are nice and everybody loves you. Hasn't happened yet. Or people won't accuse you of things, falsely accuse you, hate you. That's not why you get in the ministry. That's not why you get in, because God has called you. And I couldn't do anything else. Nothing else. Why? Because I'd have no joy if I did. It's not about happiness. It's about joy. How about that man who sings that song, who wrote that song, "It Is Well With My Soul"? Everybody died. Everybody he loved died. And he still got up there and sang, "It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul." How could it be well with his soul when his flesh was grieving so greatly? Because he wasn't a fleshly believer, that's why. He wasn't a fleshly Christian. That the last 15, 20, 30 years of his Christian life, he lived for Jesus Christ, and he wasn't fleshly. He actually had a spiritual walk with Jesus Christ. And he communed with his God, just like Job did, and he walked with God. And that's why he could endure such things. Because he had joy that no man took from him. How about Isaac Backus? Here's a missionary, a preacher. Isaac Backus. Every time he came home, he saw another grave there of a child that had died. Could you imagine burying 10 out of your 14 children? Coming back home and 10 out of your 14 children. Each time you came back, another grave was there. And you didn't know it. Remember, they didn't have delivery service back then. They didn't get an email. He just got the shock of his life when he pulled up on a horse and he looked down. And there it was, another grave. Could you imagine him pulling up there begging God, "Oh God, don't let there be another grave here. Don't let there be another grave here." And there was another grave there. And another one. Each time he came home, another one. 10 children. Oh, but you have it so hard. How about that poor mother that endured the loss of her children by herself at home, with no husband there to comfort her? The joy of the Lord was her strength. She didn't curse God and say, I don't want to do this anymore. She didn't turn into a wilted wallflower when something came up. She didn't lose her mind when everything happened. 10 children. She didn't throw a pity party or throw a fit. Why? Because her life was actually spiritual, folks. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Most people, their Christian life, most of their life that they've been saved has been lived carnally. It might have been involved a bunch of good works, but most of it was just carnal living. No sincere, deep-down relationship, and that's why when something gets thrown your way, you fall apart. Because you're looking for happiness and not joy. You're not deriving your strength. And you know what? I'm going to promise you one thing by the Word of God's authority, that you will always be subject to the whim of your feelings when you live that way, and you will never be a happy person. You will never, ever, ever be a joyful person, because you'll always be looking for happiness. You'll never be happy until you change and repent and get right with God and say, "You know what? I've been living for fleshly happiness. And I've not been living the joy of the Lord as my strength." But you know, there's always two responses to a sermon. You can get mad or you can get right. And I'd encourage you to get right, but it don't bother me if you get mad either. Amen? Because I need this sermon just as much as you do. Amen? You have to understand something. See, I actually believe God when I close this book and I've done what He's called me to do, that it's in His hands to do the rest. Amen? But I'm going to tell you something. We've got a lot of sad, whiny, crying people today. But I'll show you one that's like that is not walking in the Spirit. They're living for the happiness of the flesh. And guess what, folks? Bad things are going to come your way. I'm not Joel Osteen. Something good's going to happen to you today. It's your best life now. No, I'm going to tell you the truth. Something really horrible is probably around the corner that's gonna bother you. Something bad's going to come your way. Probably is, because that's life and it happens. Challenges are going to come your way. Amen. Between a husband and wife, your wife is going to do something to upset you. Your husband is going to do something to upset you and to make you mad if you allow that to control your life. If you allow circumstances to control your life and you get stubborn and obstinate to God, then you're never going to be joyful and you're always going to be looking to be happy. But I promise you, you'll never be happy either, because your happenings will change. What happens will change. There's another response to a sermon too is, oh, I've heard that before. Good. Are you practicing it? You know, people compromise Christian values when looking for happiness. If they're not careful, they'll marry someone who's an unbeliever. Or they'll fornicate, or they'll lie, or they'll cheat, or they'll steal. Why? Happenings. But it never brings joy. So many Christians today are looking for happiness instead of joy, and they're living a discouraged Christian life that their Father in heaven never wanted for them. What did James say about these things? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Count it all joy. So when something's uncomfortable for you and you're not happy with it the way that it goes, do you count it all joy? Or is it happiness? I can't tell you how many marriages I've seen where somebody is trying to make some other person happy. And I'm thinking to myself, you're never going to make them happy. You're just not going to. Because they got a problem in their soul. It's called joy. And that's the problem. Because I promise you, just when you think you have them happy and you put that fire out, there's another happening coming. And they're going to get sad again. And they're going to hate everybody again. It's going to happen again. Why? Because their whole existence is on happiness. So when bad things happen, they're so used to living in the flesh that they can't see the joy of the Lord as their strength. Amen. Because they've been living for the flesh for so long. It's hard for a Christian to admit that they've been living their whole Christian life in the flesh, though. Most pride won't allow them to admit that. Amen. Most pride will not allow a Christian man to admit that he's been living in the flesh. Or a lady, that she's been living in the flesh. Right about now you're thinking, is this sermon for me? And I'll say yes. It's for me too. Yes, it is. Amen? Because it's for all of us. Every single one of us need it. I'm telling you, folks, this is so prevalent. This fleshly living is so prevalent to why you seek happiness and not joy. You can go home and you can minimize this if you want to, but I'll guarantee you the next time you look at yourself in the mirror and you have a countenance like you want to die, and you tell me that you want to die, I'm going to tell you you're living in the flesh and that's why you feel that way. And no amount of counseling or anything, I can't make you happy. Because you'll never be happy. Only God can give you joy. Listen, folks, we are not dead like the world, and we don't sorrow as if we have no hope. That is not what we're supposed to live. That is not the way God intended us to live. But if you are so earthly minded that when trials come your way, you have no joy, that doesn't mean it's pleasant, folks. It means we have an anchor. That I know that if I get shot in the head tomorrow, I'm going to glory. Yeah. Aren't you scared about that? No, not really. I mean, I don't want to die painfully. I'd rather not if I don't have to. But why would I care about getting a promotion? See ya. Amen. I mean, I don't want to leave my family, no, but that's part of thinking earthly, you know. When God says it's time, it's time. Amen. We are not living for happiness or what happens to come our way. You know what that is? It's really a lack of faith. And I'll talk about that and we're done. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Folks, can you explain it any other way that a martyr could stand there and be like, okay, they're burning me? Can you explain it any other way? I know, somebody burnt your Cheeto or ate your Cheetos or burnt your pizza last night, so all your life's ruined and your wife didn't cook your food right or somebody cut you off when you're in a car or you don't have everything that you want in this life, so you're going to complain about it or your husband makes you upset or life is hard or whatever it is. Yeah, but you didn't stand before a burn. Okay, we're going to burn you now. Okay. You going to recant your faith? Nope, not doing it. Yeah, they're lighting you on fire. Yeah, I know. How about Stephen with a smile on his face? Look like an angel of God. What is that? Joy. Joy. Number five here, then we're done. So then the discouraged, defeated Christian life comes down to a lack of faith. You are so concentrated on happiness and happenings, what may come your way, and not looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. We cannot think on these temporal matters, but lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Feelings or happiness come and go. Happenings do not prove or disprove that you are a child of God. You see, I feel saved today. Why? Because life is good and I don't feel saved tomorrow. Well, your feelings don't matter today or tomorrow. See how that works? Your feelings don't matter. Your happenings don't determine your salvation either, by the way. Joy in the Holy Ghost through trials. That part of you that can say amen when a loved one dies. Though happenings have come, but that deep settled peace in the Holy Ghost that you know you will see them again. John 16:22. And ye now therefore have sorrow. Why? Because something's happening. Are you listening? This is good instruction. He said, and you now therefore have sorrow. Why? Because something's getting ready to happen that's bad. They know it. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. You see that? Your joy no man taketh from you. So there's a part that of me and you that no one can touch. Why? Joy that God gives. And whatsoever gift God giveth is eternal. Sorrow will come, but joy for the child of God is an eternal thing. You must have faith in the promises of God, though, if you want to live in lasting joy. It takes faith. Abraham was promised by God a son that would be his heir, and as the sand of the sea would be his seed. But then the next day, a happening came, didn't it? And God, a happening came, and what did God say to him? Well, you take your son and go sacrifice him. Wait a minute. What did Abraham do? The joy of obedience. He obeyed God. Why? Well, because God, you already promised. You said, I don't know what you're going to do with him, but you said that he was going to be, that Isaac, in thy name shall I seed be blessed, and Isaac thy seed shall be blessed. You promised me that he was going to be the father of many nations, and he was going to, you promised it, so okay, if you want me to take him up to that mountain, but I don't know what's going on, but I'll just obey you. What did he do? He went up the mountain and he did what he was told. What did he have? Faith. But the Bible says he staggered not at the promises of God. He didn't waver, but believed God, and the joy of the Lord was his strength. You want to live in discouragement and defeat? It's up to you. If not, then believe God and his promises. Many people don't know the promises of God because they don't search the Word of God to find out. By the way, when you don't have a joyful countenance, it shows. Amen? When you walk around angry, mad, bitter, you can see it. You can see bitterness, anger, wrath, malice. You can see it on your face. You can try to hide it as best you can, but I promise you, you can't hide it. You can see it. Amen? You can see the struggles that people are going through. You can see whether they get their happiness from happenings. Because everything is good, so I'm happy. But when things go bad or somebody says something that makes me mad, then I'm mad. And then I can't be joyful. And then I'm going to be disobedient to God and God's leadership over me because something's not like I want it to be. That's just a rebellious spirit. Amen? That's just a rebellious spirit is all that is. You want victory? Then stop basing your life on happenings or happiness. Start basing it on the joy of obedience. Obeying God brings peace and assurance. Amen? Want to know why your attitude gets sour? Because your happenings change and you base your emotions and feelings. And don't take this the wrong way, ladies. I'm not trying to be insulting either. But I thought that it was just women that did this, but men do it a lot too. And I didn't realize it was such that men do it as much too, but men will do the same exact thing. They will base it off of feelings. If something happens, they will be upset about it and they'll let it linger sometimes and it'll hurt their relationship. Circumstances change. Happenings change. Joy eternal. I should not change the way I deal with things because happenings come my way. Do you understand that? You and I should not change the way that we deal with things. We should still have the same joy in our hearts and not deal with them differently because circumstances change. Yes, we're going to have sorrow. I'm not saying it's wrong to sorrow. It's wrong to have an angry countenance. It's a sin. It's a sin to be negative like that, to be angry like that. Why? Because you're living in the flesh. You know, sometimes things happen in our lives, and I'll be honest with you, Lee and I, we used to talk about this a lot. About, you know, whether people would show up to church or not, or whether something would happen. And we would just be, I've told you this before, we would just be talking about it. He's like, man, doesn't that bother you? Doesn't that make you upset? Not really. Why? Well, because I know I'm doing what God wants me to do. So people get mad when they hear the preaching, let them get mad. They can get mad, then get right too. If they can prove from the Word of God where it's wrong, then let's do it. Amen? But if not, you can be as mad as me as you want, but really you're being mad at the message. And the message is that today is that your countenance is very visible. Amen? And let me tell you another thing. If you have to look down all the time and can't look people in their eye, there's a reason for that too. You've got an angry countenance or you're hiding something. Something's wrong. Your spirit is wrong. Your spirit's wrong. You need to get right with God. You're angry at somebody, you're mad at somebody, you have bitterness in your heart, and it's consuming you. And until you let that go and get that right, listen folks, this isn't about me, it's about God. But understand this one thing, whether it's between a husband and wife, a preacher, people, whatever the case may be, if you're angry and holding bitterness, don't worry about the person you're bitter with, worry about what the bitterness is doing to you. Because bitterness will consume you. You can be as mad as you want at the preacher, at your husband, but at the end of the day, it's going to consume you. And it will destroy you from the inside. One of the greatest sins that God's people have today is that of bitterness in their hearts. And they hold on to anger and wrath. Why? Because their circumstances were bad. Bad things happen. Listen, people are mean, okay? They are. People say things they shouldn't say, even preachers. All right? But if you're going to hold on to things like that, if you're going to allow that to define who you are, then you're living in the flesh and you're living for happiness. And you'll never be happy. Why not trade in happiness for the joy of the Lord? Why not trade it in for the joy of the Lord? Why not have a joyful countenance? Why not get your heart right with God? Forgive, forget, let it go. Pray. Amen? Don't live for the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? Turn to Galatians chapter 5 and we're done here. I was going to be done before, but I'm not quite done yet. I want to read this to you, and I want you to understand something here. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22, and we'll be done. This should be your life and my life. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Uh-oh. What's that mean? You and I should be already past these things. We've been born again. We've been given the joy of the Lord. We should be past these things when happenings come. We should understand how to deal with these happenings when they come our way. Folks, this is baby stuff. This is not big boy Christianity. This is baby stuff. It's simple. A simple plan. And they that are Christ's, that are saved, born again, blood-bought saints, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. What does that mean? I'm not looking for happiness. I have the joy of the Lord. And it's my strength to get through the day. It's my strength to get through the trial. Not whether good things happen to me. Not whether my life is easy or my life is hard. But joy. Why? Because they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory. Uh-oh. So it's saying that if I am living in the affections and the lusts and I'm not crucified those, then really what I'm seeking is for you to make me happy for vainglory. So if a wife can't do anything right for her husband, it's because her husband wants vainglory. If a husband can't please his wife, no matter how hard he tries, she wants vainglory. Very hard to take, isn't it? I thought it was when I read it. It all comes down to vanity, vanity. All is vanity. Quit looking for happiness. You're not going to find it because circumstances change. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. Stand to your feet if you would, please. Let me ask you a question. Is that you? You've been living for happiness too long? I don't need you to raise your hand here. You don't need to express to me that God has done something in your heart or your life through this sermon. It's not necessary. What I would that you would do is get right with God. That I would get right with God. That's what I would that you would do. That you would just get right with God. Stop living for happiness. You're never going to have it. Start living for the joy of the Lord. That means I'm obedient to Him, the joy of obedience. I follow Him, and He put that joy inside of me. Some of those guys call it the Jesus joy. I've heard them say that before. But you know what? Some of those Pentecostals are making us independent Baptists look pretty bad because they got some of that Jesus joy. Come on. They don't walk around like that. Now you who have the truth shouldn't either. Father, help us, Lord. Help us get right with you in this area and not live a defeated Christian life. To stop looking for happiness, but to anchor into the fruit of the Spirit, the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.